Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's time. Open your eyes. It's time. Guess the lie. It's time.
You're listening to Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That's the number you can call to get on with us. 603-283-6160. Excuse the odd bumper fading. It's just we are having technical difficulties. So what you were listening to just now is Captain Kickass's actual music. You can go to CaptainKickass.bandcamp.com to listen if you liked what you were hearing. 603-283-6160 to get on the phone with us. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Nikki,
and Joa.
And we're just going to go right to the phones. We have Dave Ridley. Dave Ridley, you're on the phone. You're in New Hampshire, and you're on the phone with us in on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, apparently, just stop me if you guys have already reported on this, but NewHampshireSecession.com is reporting that Dean Kamen has successfully seceded a piece of land from the United States.
Who's that?
Dean Kamen is a local billionaire.
In New Hampshire?
He's the inventor of the Segway.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least his company invented it. Now, this is not particularly new, but I just learned about it, and it was just in an article on NewHampshireSecession.com. I don't even know who runs NewHampshireSecession.com. That's how big our movement is getting. But I guess the thing was he had a piece of, like an island or something that he owned off of the coast of New York, and it was under New York's jurisdiction. And New York was like, well, you can't build a building more than 20 feet tall, and you need or 40 feet tall, and you need a variance to, and he's like, I can't build anything here. I'm trying to do this thing, and I need a 40-foot tower, and he starts talking to the governor of, he starts talking to the government of Connecticut about how could we have Connecticut annex this thing? And in the process of doing all this looking around for options, I guess one of his lawyers discovered some obscure treaty thing or rule or loophole or something that allows that piece of property to secede from the whole country. So apparently he did do this. Must have been in the late 90s or something like that.
I've never heard of this.
And it was a lot like the Conch Republic situation, if you're familiar with that.
Where the
Key West, you know, did a bunch of fun stuff, you know, like they declared war on the United States, but then they surrendered and asked for aid.
Well, hang on a second. That's not exactly accurate in the sense that the Conch Republic, their bridge was shut off by the feds, right? Because there was Cubans coming in, and then like they boycotted and be like, hey, we're just going to have our own country then, and we'll let whoever we want in. That's what was going on, right?
Well, that was part of it, too. But they had this little ceremony where they threw a loaf of bread at the feds or something like that. It was something like they did something with a loaf of bread. There weren't even any feds in the room. It was kind of like they threw it at the wall or something like that. I said, all right, that was our kinetic part. Now we're going to do the diplomatic surrender part. And we want federal aid. They were just joking. But they had that real lighthearted approach to it.
I'm just a little confused. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the thing you're calling about. So in Connecticut in the 80s, the man who invented the Segway, he had an island, and it was part of the federal government's land too. And then he asked Connecticut to take it.
Well, I think he owned it, but it was under New York's jurisdiction. And when New York government was giving him trouble, he started negotiating with the Connecticut government to try and get them to take it over and annex it or something like that.
Oh, so it didn't.
That led him to this loophole where you really could actually secede the whole island from the whole United States, and he did do it, apparently.
Does that only work for islands? Could you do it for inland mass? Inland land?
It's probably just for the, I would suspect it's probably just for this one island.
Just that one island? Anyway, so it was an old, old treaty for that specific land.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, you know, because, I mean, you think about it, New York, you know, that's the very earliest parts of American large-scale colonization. So, it, you know, it was under the Dutch for a while. So it was probably all complicated, and some of that complication probably stuck over into the modern era.
Do you know if anyone lives there now?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you know if anyone lives there now?
Well, he just lives down the street from where I lived when I was in Bedford. I used to jog past his house.
No, I mean, does anyone live on this island now, or does anyone live on, you know, or is it just an empty island?
In the spirit of lightheartedness, I think he's named himself like the Duke of the Island or something like that, and he has like a foreign minister. All this stuff is done, but hardly anyone actually stays there, I think. It's like a facility. They wanted to use it for like a power station or something.
Hmm. Okay.
There was this thing off the coast of Maine. It was like between Maine and I'm gonna say England, but there's like this. I think it was a man-made island, and they put a lighthouse on. This was a long time ago, but the United States didn't want to fund it anymore because they didn't need it anymore, and so this land, like the whole thing, was the little island was up for sale. And they sold it as a country. And because, like, they were like, well, the U.S. government's not going to come here and try to seize it away from us. So they challenged the whole thing. And, like, they literally had the presidency up for sale for, like, $1 million. And the vice presidency was, like, $500,000. And, like, they're on their fourth. And, yeah, they made a lot of money off of T-shirts or something like that. But,
gosh. It's just, like, I feel like these things are, like, oh, that's, you know, lighthearted and silly. But that doesn't really mean, like, I wouldn't even, like, put it on my New Hampshire secession website, because it's like, it doesn't necessarily say to me, like, oh, we're making some kind of progress. It's just something that the feds are ignoring. Like,
I mean, it's interesting to know that, like, those sort of things are possible, because I think a lot of people maybe just think that, like, it's completely impossible to do anything of the sort. Yeah. So it might be good in that sense.
But also, like, maybe we are just beating around the bush. Maybe there is something so easy of a treaty that we can just go, boom, we're done.
Yeah.
And we played the right card in the court or whatever, and therefore we're not treasonous.
It's also interesting he lives here.
Well, I am.
Whoa.
It's also interesting he lives here. Like, he chose a state that, you know, is one of the most free. Well, thank you, Dave. Is that all that you had on your mind?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the only other time I can name where any entity of land has seceded from the United States successfully would be the Philippines. And so it's just nice to see that there was another one, apparently. Mm-hmm. And also, it's good to learn from them, that lighthearted approach, because apparently, you know, the government didn't see them as much of a threat, and he met with George Bush, I guess. He said, I'm meeting in my capacity as the leader of this this foreign country. And I guess he gave foreign aid to the United States in the form of a $100 check.
Oh, my gosh.
He just had, and he also, and he has his own currency on the island. And he says, our currency is better than the U.S. government's currency.
I mean, it probably is. More valuable.
There was this really cool concept TV show, and I don't know if it's on anymore, but it came out like maybe a couple years ago now. And we talked about it on the air when it came out, because someone tipped me off about it. But it's called the Republic of Sarah, and it had to do with a small town upstate New Hampshire, believe it or not, that this landmass wasn't properly sort of mapped and dignified with New Hampshire, because it was actually part of Canada. This is a whole, you know, I think it's a theory to make the show. But, like, there was a river that went around it, to the south when it was Canadian, and then the river changed and went over north of the town, and it became all of a sudden New Hampshire because the river created the border. But then it was like, no, this is still Canadian. Canada was like, oh, we don't really care. And so they're like, all right, we're going to make our own Republic of Sarah. And it was, not to spoil it, but they really just turned wicked socialists.
But it's all fiction, right?
Huh?
It was all fiction, right?
Yes.
I kind of hate how lots of fiction stories make any time there's, like, you know, people being self-sufficient, they try to make it seem like, oh, look, and then all hell broke loose, like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
And these boys were left alone for, you know, 2 weeks and they killed each other.
Like a TV show is realistic.
Yeah, and then people that are so, you know, dumb and gullible that they will be like, yeah, well, we already saw how that played out on, you know, X TV show.
Republic of Sarah, we saw it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Well, Republic of Sarah is not 100% fictional. It's inspired by something that really did happen, which was when a piece of New Hampshire did become independent around 1795, if I recall. I'm a little off on the year, probably. So, again, there is precedent for these kinds of things. It didn't secede from the United States. It just fell into a complex situation like Liberland.
Sort of,
yeah,
like Liberland, I was going to say. Exactly. And by the way, I don't know if we reported us on Free Talk Live or not, but Liberland got raided a few days ago.
Yeah, we did report it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it was really sad. Well, thank you for the call, David. I mean, that kind of stuff, it is interesting to me. I just don't find much, like, hope that it's going to, you know, oh, we can do the same thing in New Hampshire. But, you know, maybe there's some loophole out there somebody hasn't found yet.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I do like it. You know, I will say one thing. I like it when people are, like, lighthearted like that. Like, I feel like life is too serious. And it's just, like, kind of hilarious to have your own island country and just, like, kind of make a huge joke about it.
Yeah, you just kind of sit back and giggle about it. Like,
yeah.
we're doing it.
I get how, like, some people in the secession movement could be kind of, like, offended by that, but I think it's...
I don't find it offensive. I just was wondering, oh, well, where's the punchline? Like, does this mean something for New Hampshire? Like, why are they putting on the New Hampshire website?
I think just because it's possible and it really hasn't been done before.
Yeah, but, like, if it's only that one island, it's not really like, oh, this is possible here. That was my point.
Actually, I think it hurts the argument, honestly. Because it's just, like, a small landmass. It's, like, in an obscurity that doesn't prove why we should secede. It's just an obscurity.
I don't know who runs that website or anything.
I'm just looking at it that way. I'm not looking at it in a serious thing that we're trying to do here, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't want to take light of it with the...
That's a little bit how I feel. I'm not, like, offended, but I do kind of think that somebody, an outsider who doesn't agree with secession, would look at it and just say, oh, well, see, it could only happen in a place that's, like, an unpopulated island.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying I necessarily think it hurts. Not really. It's just, like, okay. We have Tom from New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, the war of words is... I developed a weapon in the war of words. Namely, instead of saying that the cops are out to deter people from breaking the laws and conveniently omitting any mention of how blatantly unjust a multitude of such laws are, I say they are out to intimidate people into obeying a multitude of blatantly unjust laws. See, deter and intimidate pretty much mean the same thing, trying to scare people. But I thought of an even better one, and that is to take the enemy's own weapon and turn it against them. You see, to say that Ian was of respecting his customer's privacy, that doesn't sound nearly as terrible as saying that Ian was guilty of willful blindness. Well, you know, if they're going to use willful blindness, and but for willful blindness, what would have happened? Look at the opportunity to use that weapon. But for willful blindness, the enemies of liberty would see the obvious flaws in all of their absurd lines of reasoning. For example, when they say, well, Tom, you elect the people that write these laws. And I say, no, I don't. And they go on to a second category of some persons don't bother voting. And, okay, that's two categories. But what about the people who voted for the libertarians? They ignore the possibility that maybe I voted against the people who write these laws because that there is, and but for willful blindness, they would see the absurdity of their line of reasoning. And even go on to say, well, then it's your fault because you wasted your vote on somebody who couldn't possibly win.
True. Hey, Tom, you're reminding me of when I walk into the federal courthouse and knowing now that since you brought up the willful blindness, right? Well, when you walk into the federal courthouse, there's a big, giant silver statue of Lady Justice putting on a blindfold.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, willful blindness is when they How can it be unconstitutional when the United States Supreme Court has upheld it? That's right up there with how can I be overdrawn when I still have some checks left in my checkbook? There's like the United States Supreme Court vomits forth a far-fetched judicial misinterpretation and the plain text of the Constitution involved the United States Constitution, or the state Constitution does not lend itself to that misinterpretation. It's still no less unconstitutional. And but for willful blindness, they would know that, first of all, their oath of office isn't to uphold the far-fetched judicial misinterpretation. It's to uphold, to perform their duties agreeably to the Constitution and laws. And even then, they would understand that by definition, unalienable rights preempt the rule of law.
Tom, let me ask you a question. No sense, but what do you expect? What do you plan to do with this information? Like, just yell this at people on the street and expect it's going to like just change their minds and they're going to get it?
Well, the same as I've been mentioning, that cops are on a mission to intimidate the humans into obeying a multitude of blatantly unjust laws. It's turning around their own statement of principle. They are to deter people from breaking the laws. It's just using in the war of words, as Daniel Webster said, there's nothing so powerful as truth and often nothing so strange. And by the way, I think Bonnie should get in touch with, if she hasn't already done so, all the reporters that reported on that sentencing hearing and the press release from the United States Attorney's Office, and try to see if those newspapers will also cover the rest of the story, that the, stuff like how the statute didn't even say anything about Bitcoin. The statute was about funds transfer businesses and businesses in the book.
I'm not really interested in reaching out to like MWR and getting them to correct the record because not only will they not listen, but that's kind of what Free Talk Live is for. Like, I'm on here putting the record straight all the time. I can rant on Freekeen if I want to. It's not really like, I just don't really care about changing everybody's idea, everybody's mind. Because, I mean, it's already too freaking late, for one thing. It's like, it's not like the readers, thank you for the call, Tom. It's not like the readers of MWR are going to be, reading this thing and saying, it's not like they're going to end up on a jury and be the...
And they don't care.
It's too late.
They're the gatekeeper's information. They're not going to hand us the keys. Right?
That's exactly... Like, they interviewed me. MWR, is that what they're called? MWR?
MWR.
U-R. Yeah, I think there's a U.
They interviewed me right after the sentencing date the other day for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes? And all they did was break this part. Wait, yes, WMUR. Thank you. I was like, I know it's wrong somehow.
What it stands for,
I have
no idea.
Yeah.
It's some random generated letters.
it actually doesn't stand for anything.
I never get that right on the first try. I don't know what it is, but they interviewed me for like 10 minutes, and all they put on the news was they were like talking about Ian, talking about, just repeating all of the government's allegations against Ian and saying he went to jail for 8 years. And then they're like, and this is what his new wife has to say. And then
they
show me, and it's just me saying, these people, and I obviously had said before that I was talking about the jury, but they didn't even include that part. They just cut to a clip of me saying, these people, I don't know if they just didn't like him, or maybe they don't like that his wife is young, and that's like all they
used. That's all they showed, I saw that.
They tried to make it look like I was just like dumb, and also called me a new wife as if, when like he has an old wife, like he just got rid of his other wife when she turned 30.
Well, how about when the news reporter promised me on camera that she was going to show Dom Bulldog throw an elbow into my chest. Guess what they did? They started to show the clip. Right, and they ended it right before he threw the elbow into my chest.
It's ridiculous. That's so annoying.
And that would have been, like, juicy, too. Right. Like, that's the stuff that people want to see.
That's what I know.
But they probably, like, if she were, or obviously, like, she's, working with other people and, like, editors and her boss and stuff like that, if they were to include that, they would probably, like, someone would come after them probably.
There's no doubt in my mind they sent, I think it was, her name was Jennifer, to do this report because, damn, she retired 2 weeks later.
Oh.
The reporter that interviewed me when I went to file a complaint against Bulldog, she, like, retired, like, right after.
Weird.
Yeah. So she just put herself in a position to lie, and then she's like, I'm quitting, or whatever it is.
It's so, so bad. Like, I can't wait for your trial. What is he going to say? what he's going to say. Like, well, I just decided to lie in that moment. What else could he say?
Well, if he does lie, I'm like, hey, was there any violence today? And he's going to be like, no. I'm like, roll back that bean footage.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But the listener doesn't know what we're talking about. We're talking about in October of last year, 2022.
November 3rd?
Oh, November?
Yeah,
November of last year, Don Bulldog, he's running for Senate here in New Hampshire, and he was going into St. Anselm College to do a debate.
Yep.
And Joe walked up to him and said, don't start any wars.
Hey, don't go to war. I said, you suck. Don't go to war.
Yeah, you suck. Don't go to
Which
war.
Which is pretty based.
Yep. Because he was all about war with China at the time.
And then
like, talking about
Don
it.
Bulldog just proved that he sucks. And he went to war by throwing an elbow in my chest.
Yeah, and then he starts screaming, he hit me, he hit me. And this is all on camera.
Yeah.
It's on camera. He's pointing to a cop telling him to go arrest Joa, and he's saying, he hit me three times.
And then slandered me on the news three times.
And
he lied three times in the news about the incident.
And where can they go to see that video?
Oh, definitely go to freekeen.com.
Oh, yeah, they can see it.
That's where I tell people to go. Do not, like, if you go anywhere else, they're not going to give you the right story. There's a few people on Twitter that wrote about it correctly, but that's kind of hard to dig up, too.
Right.
But, I mean, you can see me on Breitbart.
Yeah,
and they list
lying.
Me up there with firebombers, rapists, and murderers.
Whoa.
What?
Yes, there's a list of political violence occurring, political violence season, whatever. And then, like, they literally list me with all these really bad things that were happening.
That should be, like, slander, you know?
It is slander.
Absolutely. You didn't even do anything.
The editor, as soon as he posted the first article about it, and it was totally wrong, I sent him a message. I was like, hey, you might want to fix this and watch this video and fix the article. Nope.
They don't care.
He's like, prove to me that's you. I'm like,
what?
I'm telling you it's me. Like, this is my channel. This is da-da-da-da.
He can write a whole story about you without any kind of proof of what happened.
I know. That's kind of strange, right?
And I gave him the footage.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even review it. And he doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on me hitting Bulldog. I never even touched the guy. Actually, wait. I did touch him with my chest. And I placed my chest into his elbow.
Yeah. No. I really hope that he has to, you know, show up. But anyways, we're going to go and film Joa's trial that's coming up this month. And I'm really excited for that, honestly. I just can't see how Bulldog worms his way out of this one. We also have another caller on the line. Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind, Skeeter?
You boy hates to burst your possession bubble, but that North Dumpling Island that David Ridley was talking about, that's not really secession. It was a joke. It was, he used secession as a joke.
Okay. Have a nice day, Skeeter. It was such a stupid call. I mean, we have been sitting here talking about how it was more of a joke. I don't know what he's talking about.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. President Biden has reaffirmed his unwavering dedication to Israel's security.
As I said yesterday, my commitment to Israel's security and the safety of the Jewish people is unshakable. The United States has Israel's back, and we're going to be working on this all through today and beyond.
The president told reporters that he had a conversation with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu earlier today, emphasizing the ongoing commitment to address the escalating conflict in the Middle East.
The United Auto Workers strike has entered a 27th day, with UAW members currently picketing at 43 different facilities nationwide. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has emerged as the Republican Party's choice for Speaker of the House. The Louisiana congressman will now need to garner at least 217 votes on the House floor. That is the very latest. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That's the phone number for you to call to get on the line with us in this last segment, 603-283-6160. But we will be back tomorrow as well, so keep the number on your phone or something. And in the studio with you tonight on Free Talk Live, it's me, Bonnie.
Nikki.
And Joa.
And I'm just going to go straight to the phones because we have Riley. Riley, our other co-host. You're on the air with us, Riley. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So here's the thing. I've been in New Hampshire for 12 weeks now, and we've been doing our 420 rallies for about 11 weeks, I want to say, and I feel like they've been well attended. But what I'd love to see happen is if we could smoke weed in front of the police station, that'd be really cool.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that a few weeks ago, and I think that'd be a really fun switch it up one day and do it there.
My big concern is that I want to have a larger amount of people than like 4 or 5, so
right.
That, you know, if the police come harass us, they're not going to be able to harass, you know, 15 or 20 people.
Will you be surprised?
Yeah. But it's less likely, you know, there's more accountability, right?
That's
allegedly.
Yeah, it's just harder when, you know, everyone has cameras and we're filming it and getting on film. And
they'll probably choose someone, I bet. I bet they'd pick someone. That's what they usually do.
It's not like we haven't smoked a joint in the police station.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is New Hampshire.
Well, Riley, I think that we could definitely get that done if we put the word out like a couple weeks in advance, especially to like the Manchester people. A bunch of them might come out, and I think that would be really great. You want to do it some Sunday, right?
I do. I think it'd be great.
I wish that I smoked. I'll try to think of something illegal to do. Maybe you're not supposed to talk on my property.
Impromptu illegal stuff.
Right. I don't smoke weed anymore, so.
That's okay.
I would do it with you guys, but either way, I'll be there in solidarity, and I'll think of something
to do. Take shots.
Yeah.
Okay. She doesn't do that either.
Yeah, actually, I don't drink either. I was about to say, though, maybe...
We'll take some mushrooms or something.
Maybe everyone who doesn't, drink or smoke weed, I can bring a bunch of Heineken 0%.
Yeah, yeah, St. Pauli's.
Yep, that'd be fun.
There you go.
Is that all you had?
The reason why I want to do this isn't to get arrested or anything like that. It's to show that, hey, you know, we're here in New Hampshire. We have our rights. We're exercising our rights. And we're not going to take harassment from the police. Ian Freeman may be in a cage, but our movement is not going away. And I think that's an important step to make to show people that, hey, we're doing things. We're stepping up our game. Well, I don't know if we're going to be stepping up our game necessarily, but we're still doing things.
I think it's definitely important that they don't just, like, get rid of Ian and, oh, well, everyone's done doing activism. That's why I'm really, really glad that Joe decided to come back to Keene. There's kind of like a, you know, a silver lining when lots of things happen when people are...
Captain over there.
It's kind of a silver lining when something bad happens to an activist. I mean, it activates a whole bunch of other people, you know?
It seems to do that. It seems to say, oh, well, my friend got in a cage, so I better come out of hiding or whatever, out of retirement, and get back to doing activism.
I mean, I've been actually kind of floating and looking for my footing and that sort of thing. And if I can find it here, staying here for like a week or two, and, you know, maybe I can figure it out and stay longer and do more activism. I really do want to continue doing this, and I really do think seeing Ian not in Keene, that there needs to be a sort of push of activism here while he's not here.
Right. Go ahead, Riley.
Because Ian has been a huge part of the Keene activist community, and I really look up to that because for some reason, there's a part of me that loves to stand against authority, and I really want to bring that part of me out to learn how to stand against authority and exercise my right to stand against authority.
Nice. I agree. I just really like living in Keene where, for the most part, I mean, I've just never been pulled over here. I know that it's not like no one gets pulled over here and no one gets harassed by the police, but I feel like the police are really tame here because of people like Ian.
You mean like Keene specifically, or like are you talking about the entire Monadnock region?
Keene specifically, okay. I don't...
Yeah, I would say so.
If I leave... Keene, it's like to go to somewhere totally different. I almost never, go to just like the surrounding.
But you have a point. Like I know someone who has been pulled over by Keene PD, but every time I've ever been pulled over, which is kind of frequently, I don't know why, they just like keep targeting me or something. But it's always like once I get to Swansea or Troy, like it's never been in Keene. It's like some other cop down the street.
I just think that Ian and the rest of them back in the early days of Free Keene in its heyday, like 2010 or whatever, they really trained the cops, like, listen, you're not going to get an easy moment of pulling someone over, arresting someone. We're going to take you to court and sometimes win. Either way, waste your time. And you're not going to have an easy day if you mess with a Free Stater.
The cops in Keene have definitely been trained.
Yeah.
Like, when they get a new guy in, they're like, hey, listen.
If you see this bumper sticker.
They show him the, what's that, JFK film? I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
Oh,
my God.
No.
They had to go there.
They show all of Free Keene videos, and they're like, I understand.
They just play, like, Derek J's victimless crime spree.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Well, I know that they get, they definitely get trained. Like, they get told about the Free Staters. Like, one day, I was actually going to bring this up earlier when we were talking about the parking spots. In 2020, Ian, our co-host, Peakless Mountaineer, and Nobody, and some other people were out having a nightcap, and the cops came and were giving them tickets for being parked overnight there, and they were like, yeah, it's because, you know, the firefighters need to come through here. Something stupid like that. Like, they can't just drive through normally anyway. And they had a really young guy with them, and in the video, Ian asked them, are you training them? Or you've got the, oh man, now I actually don't remember if they admit to it or if Ian just asked. But Ian does ask, are you training them to deal with the Free Staters? And he said, it seemed like, I can't remember now if he actually answers in it and says that's what they're doing. So I could just be mixing that up. But.
Well, you bring up an interesting thing is the overnight parking. I beat an overnight parking ticket in Providence.
Nice.
And all I did in court, all I said during my little judge trial, I said, what does it mean to be overnight parking? Like, how do you know I didn't just park there and then I was going to leave 10 minutes after she gave me the ticket?
Yeah.
How can you prove this overnight parking thing?
Hmm.
And they're like, you're right. We're throwing it out.
Wow.
So if everyone just like
sometimes
argued it like that.
Yeah, exactly. And like sometimes it's as easy as that. And especially with like low level stuff like traffic infractions and parking tickets. It's pretty like it's not super serious. It's pretty easy to just take it to court. You can literally like say whatever. And
at least
usually,
waste your time.
Yeah, at least waste their time. Usually they'll just throw it out. And I mean,
you get a
nine
cop
times
off the street.
Well, 9 times out of 10, the cops don't show up. And then it gets thrown out. So either way, I mean, like, don't pay it. Like, always fight it. And speaking of traffic.
Fine.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of traffic infractions, my court date is coming up on December 15th.
For Hillsborough?
Yeah, Hillsborough. I think that's
It
is at 1 p.m. So
what'd
if anyone wants to come.
What did you do?
Nothing.
Yeah, good answer. I'm trying to make you admit it. No.
Oh, my God, Joe.
Never.
What'd
listen,
you do?
Listen, this ain't my first rodeo. This is like, maybe I shouldn't even say the next part on the air, but never mind. I'm innocent, and I will win. So.
Is that all you have for us, Riley?
Yep, that's all I have.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service with the 420.
Good night, Riley. I'll see you Sunday?
Yep, it's on Sundays.
That's actually awesome because I think it's so cool how Riley, like, just got here. And obviously, like, he's been working with Free Talk Live forever.
Yeah.
Like, he's been calling in. He's came out to visit. Like, you know, we've known Riley,
digest.
Right? Yeah, yeah, he does the digests for us, for people who don't know, which is super helpful for, you know, because a lot of people these days don't have the capacity for a three-hour show, right? But what I was going to say is it's so cool that he moved out here and immediately started doing something.
Yep.
Immediately started, a meetup. And it's been pretty successful. So that's cool. I mean, like, that's cool to, like, hit the ground running, like, right when you come here.
Yeah. And Riley, your free Ian shirt is ready, so.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Joe has been, I don't know. You want me to shout out on the show? Joe is making some shirts. He's like a really good artist. He's really humble about it. Like, I know he's going to say I'm not a really good artist.
He is.
But he is. He can really do faces. And he made a shirt where he's hand painting Ian, our co-host Ian, my husband. And it says Free Ian on the bottom, and it's really, really, really cute. I love it.
And you also made us the sketches from the trial.
Yep.
Yeah.
As much as I could.
You could definitely tell immediately who everyone was that he had drawn. Like,
oh, yeah.
I could tell Sissy and Ian and the judge.
Oh, yeah, that's the FBI prosecutor. That's the,
yep.
The FBI witness, the short-haired butch.
They don't let you do, they don't let you bring, cameras in, so it's like a really, really nice service that you came out and did that.
Yeah, no, that was awesome.
But yeah, he's selling those t-shirts, so I don't know where you could get one.
If you know, like, how to contact me, maybe I'll make one for you.
Yeah, and if you
look I think I'm gonna bring the price up if I get a lot of orders.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally hand-painting these.
Yeah, it's hardcore.
But let's move on. We have this story from New York Post that I kind of teased at the beginning. I'm not going to play the video of this, only because I don't want to mess with the technical stuff right now when we've got it kind of just floating along. I don't want to mess it up, but it's not that interesting to listen to anyway. It's a video. The title of this article says, Pennsylvania cop arrested for improperly committing ex-girlfriend to a mental facility.
Oh, this one.
And in the video, I mean, you can at least hear her saying, like, what the heck are you doing? You're crazy. Like, something is wrong with you. Get off me. But he doesn't say anything back. He's being so freaking weird. He's in plain clothes, and he's sitting on her like she's, imagine she's sitting crisscross kind of, and then he's sitting on top of her legs, and she's still sitting up, and she's like, she's cussing.
So,
stuff.
I want to know, just really quick, does it look like he has... Are you familiar with, like physical restraints? Like, different restraints that you put... Well, maybe you might be able to guess, at least. Does it look like he has her in a restraint that you would do to, like, protect somebody or protect yourself from them? Or does it just look like he's being a weirdo and, like, tackled her?
It is disgusting. I saw the whole video. There is a video out there.
Because I have not watched the video.
You don't
want to
play this, probably swears.
It couldn't possibly be not hurting her, I think. Cause there
it absolutely hurt her. She's got bruises. She's got scratches on her face. He rubbed her face into rocks.
Oh, my God.
Okay? This is his ex-girlfriend. This is, like, I think it's sexual
right.
That's, force.
There's something sexual about the video in a gross way.
I just, like, peeked my head over at Bonnie's screen and saw at least, like, the woman in question. She's very, very thin.
He's a big guy.
Like, yeah, he is a lot bigger. She does not have a lot of muscle mass on her, like... no reason that he would need to, like, tackle her. And if she has, like, scratches on her, yeah, he tackled her.
It doesn't
work.
It's not even that. Like, he keeps on pushing her down onto the ground, and, like, she's trying to roll and, like, try to get out of it. And, like, get off of me. Like, stop. Like, you know? And it's like, I'm not going to run. Like, that's what she's saying. Yeah. And she's, like, willing to wait for, like, whatever 911 he called. She's not going to run. Like, most reasonable people, they don't run. Like, most often than not. You could be reasonable and running, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But the thing is like... She's not wearing a whole lot of clothing, like, on her skin, like, so her arms and her legs are exposed, and so she's getting all scratched up on there, too.
It's like a t-shirt and shorts, yeah.
Yeah, and but her face gets a lot of scratches, too. Like, she showed pictures afterwards. But, go ahead. It's disgusting. You can imagine, like, UFC rolling around on the ground is, like, kind of what this is, but he's, like, dominating
and
her.
He's, like, being, like, silent the whole time. He's just a total
Yeah, like, he's
freak.
Justifying what he's doing.
So... It says a married Pennsylvania state police trooper is facing false imprisonment charges after he allegedly violently detained, I don't know why they even say allegedly, it's on camera, but violently detained his ex-girlfriend and committed her to a mental health treatment program under bogus claims. Ronald Davis, 37, was arrested Thursday on accusations he abused his authority to carry out the twisted takedown that left his former girlfriend improperly stuck in a medical facility for multiple days, the Dauphin County District Attorney's Office said. Davis reportedly told her, "I know you're not crazy. I'll paint you as crazy."
That's conspiracy.
Leading up to the forced medical treatment. The victim claimed, according to court documents released by the district attorney's office, his quest to have his ex committed began on August 21st when he sought help from fellow troopers because he said the victim, identified by district attorney as MF, I guess they're using her initials, had mental health problems, according to an affidavit of probable cause. On advice from state police, Davis, off duty at the time, contacted county officials via his police email account and identified himself as a trooper to obtain an order after he submitted purported texts from her in which she threatened suicide, according to the court docs. It was such a freak.
Disgusting. Yeah, he looks like a sex offender.
Right. There's this picture that popped up, his mugshot that Nikki and I can look at from here.
Yeah.
He's just disgusting.
Yeah. And like, I know when, you know, I obviously am being sarcastic here, but like, I know when somebody is a mental health, you know, has mental health issues and is a suicide risk, you know, I always physically assault them, right? Like, that makes a lot of sense.
I know.
Like, are you kidding me?
I don't understand, like, just in general, when it comes to policing or whatever, is that if, say, you commit a crime, it's like, there's absolutely no victim, and it was just like, just say it was just petty theft, like you stole a pack of gum, right? The cops will tackle you, beat you, and like, and then still run you through the system, like,
and justify that to themselves.
And just putting hands on you, unwanted touch, is beyond that stealing a pack of gum.
Absolutely, like, that's more of a crime, and especially when it comes into cases where people are mentally ill. I'm sorry, you're not helping. Well, we need to go section them. Okay, but like. Being physical with them and physically harming them is not helping the situation.
It's not like she was, 5 feet away from a gun and he was keeping her from grabbing the gun.
Yeah, absolutely not. And, like, this is the thing where it's like cops are absolutely the worst people to respond to mental health emergencies. Absolutely, like, they escalate the situation, any sort of security, honestly, usually, but they always escalate the situation. They don't know how to speak to people in a therapeutic manner. Like, anyone else is more qualified and to respond to these sort of situations and get someone into, like, you know, if they need to be brought to the hospital or wherever they're going. I mean, cops are the absolute worst people to handle this.
I got pulled over once for license plate frames, and I was challenging the cop, like, this is not true. This,
like, they didn't want you to have the frame you had on your license
plate? This was a rental car.
Oh.
With the rental car's license plate frames.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was
gathering...
They were
saying it was obstructing it or something?
Yeah, but see, the law, the way the law is written, you can't obstruct, you know, any government insignias and stuff like that on the plates, but I've seen license plate frames that have obstructed the words and everything like that, even your inspection sticker, like, or whatever, your registration sticker, whatever. All that stuff, I've seen that, and then maybe it's not good, but this frame was not that aggressive. Just barely covered the border of the plate. Regardless, that's not the point. Even the rental car company said they would pay for the ticket, but when I got pulled, and I was like, no, I'm going to fight this in court, they're like, okay. I won, but that's another story. And there's a few stories involved in all this, but I was actually gathering evidence for another case for an illegal U-turn I got pulled over about. That's besides the point. But I was gathering the evidence, and then when I pulled out, the cop pulls me over. And then I asked for a supervisor. Supervisor shows up. Ironically, it's his father-in-law.
Mm.
That makes sense. But they called for the ambulance. Because they said on the radio they were going to run a psych eval on me.
Wow.
So they called the ambulance to the scene because I'm challenging license plate frames. Who's the psycho here? Who's the one that's crazy right now? The cop pulling you over in a really dangerous spot, too. And it was, like, it's just, these guys are suicidal. Like, do you really want to cause trouble to your neighbors and, like, community?
Well, if he really believed you were just a dangerous person, they're too much of P words to, like, actually want to deal with that.
So, and that's the thing, too. It's like, okay, if we, you know, if he thought you were some, like, criminal or whatever, like, you're a danger to society, what does that have to do with your license plate?
You know what I mean?
Like, they pull people over for all of these. It's phishing is really what it is.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They're like, oh, they did the same thing to me. I got pulled over. I had a purple tinted license plate light, and they didn't like that, so they pulled me over, and then they got me for, you know, all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's what they do.
Well, you want to talk about how dangerous of a person I was with those license plate frames? I looked up that police officer on the criminal database in Rhode Island, and apparently when you get divorced, you're in the criminal database, which is pretty cool because I found out where he lived. It was that easy. Yeah,
that's
believe
so
it or not.
Weird.
Yeah,
like,
it's criminal. You become a criminal. No, I don't. Just in Rhode Island, at least.
A criminal.
It's in the criminal database if you get divorced.
That's so weird.
I found out where he lived because he got divorced. So I went to his house. I didn't, like, go in his house or on his property, but I parked across the street and I took pictures of his license plate and his wife's license plate.
Do they have license plate?
Could you believe it?
Wow.
But not just that. Not even that, okay? Now I'm in trial in court, and the judge...
Did you bring those photos?
Yeah, but they weren't admissible because they're not on trial, right?
But you're making a point.
But it gets even
better. You're not as much of a protected class as you think you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there was more irrelevant evidence there. Is while the prosecutors just ranting away to the judge about how, like, I should do community service and all this stuff, or at least community service, I walk over to the window, and I go, I just say out loud, like, whose Mercedes is this out here?
Oh, it was parked out there during the trial?
It was the judge's car,
whoa,
a brand new Mercedes, in this place called Greco, and they put these really big,
Rhode Island?
Yeah, in Johnson, Rhode Island.
Oh.
And they put these really big, thick license plate frames on their plates. Like, it covers everything. Like,
wow,
you can't even read, like, what state you're from with these plate covers. And the judge goes, okay, all right.
Well, oh, my God.
Yeah, this is other funny things. Like, the prosecutor was like, why don't you just do, like, 5 hours community service? And I just get up to the mic.
Why don't you just do it?
I just go up to the mic and go, I don't negotiate with terrorists. And the judge is like, okay. You know what? This is my last case ever. Dismissed. He dismissed the case.
Wow.
That's a great story. I love that story.
That is a great story. I mean, if people just took these simple things to court, like, you know, 10% of people, it would really mess them up.
And that's what I'm saying, too. Like, you can literally get up there. I'm not saying, like, if you get up there and say anything, you're going to win every time.
Right.
But usually. Like, people act like it needs to be, like, this science and you need to, like, hire an attorney to fight your speeding ticket.
Hmm.
You'll just fight it. The cop's probably not even going to show up. And you can literally just say whatever you want. I mean, you can make, like, a pretty legit argument or, you know, whatever.
If you ever go off rails, like, if you're representing yourself in court and you go off rails and the judge goes, hey, can we get back on the topic? I'm like, look, I'm pro se. I'll say whatever I want. Just say that. Just say, I'm pro se, and I'm going to say whatever I want.
So,
because they can't stop you at that point. They know that you're not a lawyer.
Yeah. So, it's pretty funny. Matt fought some, maybe a driving without a license or something. And essentially, he got it dismissed because, you know, how they redo the charge, and they're like, do you understand what you're being accused of, or however the language is? And he said, no.
No, I don't.
And then they're like, okay, so they read it again. And he's like, no. I don't understand. So,
sorry, judge. As many times you beat me down, I'm still not going to understand it.
So then that's the thing. They cannot proceed if you don't understand. And then, you know, I'm not saying this is going to happen every time, but the guy was just like, fine, dismissed, whatever. I'm not dealing with this.
Well, basically all there is left of this story, I'm glad this guy got arrested.
Yeah, screw that guy.
He told the cops that were on their way, he said, I'll take care of it myself. And then he started... tackling her.
Ew.
And I'm glad the guy got arrested.
Yeah.
It's been Free Talk Live. Talk radio that you control. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Joa and I will be back on tomorrow. And Nikki will be back on Sunday. And it's been great talking about how much cops don't actually do what you think they do tonight. You know, they're here to make victims and make the world a worse place. And all cops are bastards. It's been Free Talk Live. Thanks.
Oink, oink.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.